Welcome back to Via the Source, where you can get news about the entire NFL and, of course, the Miami Dolphins. Fins up, here's Steven, your host.
What's up, guys? Today's date is Monday, September 23rd. I'm Steven Masso, and as always, you're listening to Via the Source. Now, today's going to be a Dolphins-focused episode. Tomorrow, I will be covering the games from across the NFL, but for now, this one's going to be a Dolphins-focused episode recapping the game between the Dolphins and the Dallas Cowboys. So, before we get into that, as you guys know, I am from Texas. I reside in South Texas, down in the Rio Grande Valley. So, I have a lot of Dallas Cowboy fans around me. So I've always kind of been mocked as being someone who followed and supported the Dolphins because during my lifetime, at least, they have never really attained any sort of success. So there are a lot of Cowboy fans around that are also very casual. So they don't understand what's happening across the entire NFL, especially in regards to what's happening with the Dolphins. So I was getting a ton of text messages the whole game, just as I expected, like, oh, what's happening with the Dolphins? Look like they're a bad team, all this stuff. So this is just, again, if you're a Cowboys fan listening to my podcast, if you're someone that knows me, just know the Dolphins are tanking. This is kind of expected. They're rebuilding. They were not really expected to compete really with the Dallas Cowboys, who at this point in time are playing very well. So we dive into this game. The Dallas Cowboys won by a score of 31-6. Which on paper is a pretty sound win for the Cowboys and follows kind of the same script we've seen for the past few weeks from the Miami Dolphins. I don't think the Dolphins will have another game this season that is quite as bad as the one against the Baltimore Ravens. Now, I don't want to jinx myself, but in that week in particular, it was just such a poor level of play, something that I really hadn't seen in my lifetime. And then in the following week against the Patriots, there was at least some improvements defensively that made them look like they were competing in the first half. And surprisingly enough, this was kind of something we saw in this game against the Dallas Cowboys. Now, Josh Rosen got the start on the offense. This was a huge debate on Twitter. There were a lot of people who were very adamant about the fact that it doesn't matter if it's Josh Rosen starting because the result's going to be the same. They were saying, why do you want to see Josh Rosen on the field? And you guys have heard this from me a ton. Josh Rosen being on the field makes these snaps more valuable for some of the younger guys. If you can start getting this scheme laid in place, get the foundation in here, get some of these younger guys, build their confidence up, get him moving and flowing well, that is extremely valuable. Even if in the win column it doesn't show that there's a win there, even if it's a loss, there's still some value that could be found in getting those small victories that I talked about that fans will have to be looking for in this season for the Miami Dolphins. So Josh Rosen got the start, and at least in the first half, the offense was flowing pretty well, but for some odd reason that I cannot explain, the receivers just cannot catch when it comes to Josh Rosen throwing the ball. He delivers these beautiful passes, but just everything seems to work against him whenever he is on the field. And it's not anything that he's doing. It's just a proponent of luck. It's a proponent of the Dolphins not being prepared or of just receivers not having the best hands. But it seems like all of that just happens to show its ugly face whenever Josh Rosen is the starter. And it's really just a matter of luck, nothing against him. So Josh Rosen in this game, a solid performance in the first half, but in his stat line towards the end, it won't look too impressive. He was 18 for 39, 200 yards, no touchdowns, and no picks in this game for the Miami Dolphins. Now, to stick with Josh Rosen a little bit, he did have a pass, which was absolutely beautiful to Preston Williams in the corner of the end zone. Now, whether it was a touchdown or not could be debated. Preston Williams caught the ball. He got two hands on it. He controlled it. He got 2 feet down as well. But during the process of the catch, it was being stripped away. So the Dolphins elected not to challenge, which was a little bit questionable. I'm not sure if it would have been overturned and ruled a touchdown because, frankly, the rules surrounding what is a catch changes so often. I've seen catches that looked way more like catches ruled incomplete, so I really am not sure whether that was a catch or not. He didn't make a football move. It didn't look like he completed the process, but yet he did have the possession and did have his feet down. So at the very least, in my mind, it should have been challenged, but it was not, so that could have helped boost Josh Rosen's stat line. And of course, last week, his stat line looked poor because there were several drop plays which could have been touchdowns. Now, another thing that Josh Rosen did this game that impressed me so much was his ability to maneuver around the pocket. The pocket was collapsing pretty frequently, especially around the edges. There were just plenty of times where there was someone coming from his blind side, and I'm not sure if it would work out like this every single week. But in this week in particular, this internal clock he had was pretty impeccable. He was getting it out just as that guy was getting there. It looked really scary, but yet he managed to do that pretty consistently and was able to secure the ball and at least deliver a nice solid pass. So Rosen, when it comes to his pocket presence, that's one of the most impressive things to me. His accuracy is one, but another thing is his pocket presence and his ability to maneuver around. Now, he is not a fast guy. He is not necessarily that athletic, but I think that's where people start to lose track of what a quarterback needs to be able to maneuver this pocket. Tony Romo was never a fast quarterback. You do not have to be Lamar Jackson or Russell Wilson to be someone who could bounce around the pocket. Tony Romo was great at it. Eli Manning, even in the younger portion of his career, he was tremendous at doing the same thing as well. And all those guys, as well as Josh Rosen, they're able to do it while keeping their head downfield, which I think is the most important part to look for the plays. Now, I just got done watching Baker Mayfield, who was also running for his life, and it looked like a lot of the time he didn't have to. But the main thing with him was he wasn't keeping his head downfield. He wasn't looking for the open man. He was ducking his head down and trying to get out of the pocket and then see what could happen. Whereas Josh Rosen, when he had to evade the pocket, he had his head downfield, he had that internal clock working terrifically, and he was able to evade pressure very nicely in this game. I was very excited what I saw from Josh Rosen all around. Now, I wouldn't say this is some type of performance that was miraculous, that it was enough to say that the Tank for Tua movement is dead, that we don't need Tua anymore. But this is something that kind of perks your ears up a little bit, because the situation's terrible. If he can kind of get a grasp and control what's happening here and is able to actually crank out some very good performances, then that could be something to keep your eye on. But right now, it's just enough to kind of perk your ears up and at least get some of these younger guys some valuable snaps. Now we move on to the next good performer for the Miami Dolphins, and it's Kenyon Drake. Now Kenyon Drake, I said, is the most talented running back on this team. I was a big Ballage guy, but you know what? I cannot deny that Drake right now is more suited to be the better running back in this offense. Kenyon Drake finished 12 carries for 38 yards, but through the air, he also had 34 yards as well. He's electric. Even when he's getting hit behind the line of scrimmage, he can make the man miss. Kalen Ballage cannot do that. He never makes the first man miss ever, and that was something that Travis Wingfield at Wingfield NFL was also making a good point about as well. Ballage is terrific at hitting the hole. It looks like he got shot out of a cannon, but when it comes to making people miss, that is not what Ballage is good at. Kenyon Drake, that is his strong suit. He was doing terrific. He made Jalen Smith look absolutely silly. I just think Kenyon Drake needs more touches. Now, we move on to Kalen Ballage. It was another kind of lackluster performance from Ballage. He had 8 carries for 17 yards, and he did have 1 catch for 10 yards. But the main thing here with Ballage is he is getting way too much of a workload that, frankly, he doesn't deserve. He hasn't shown anything to show that he warrants this heavy workload that he's getting. And one thing in particular, the Dolphins had the ball in the red zone. This was a terrific opportunity to boost some of these guys' confidence up. And what they elected to do instead was they ran the ball with Kalen Ballage 3 straight times. A guy who is averaging less than 2 yards per carry on the season against a strong Dallas front 7, and they elected to run it with him 3 straight times. I do not see how that was the logical decision. Now, if you're someone who says, oh, that's a smart thing because what we're trying to do is lose every single game, then fine, so be it. In that way, yes, it was the right thing to do, I guess. But if you're actually trying to score and compete and actually get some points on the board, then I don't understand the logic in that, especially when this is a team that is so deprived of points. You need to go out there and start playing aggressively. Handing the ball off to Ballage in that situation 3 times was not the move, at least in my eyes. Now we go on to the receiving side for the Miami Dolphins, and it was led by Preston Williams. Him and Josh Rosen have a tremendous chemistry. This is actually a guy, if you're in a sort of deep fantasy league, this might be a guy to want to keep on your radar, maybe stash a little bit. He had 12 targets in this game, 4 catches for 68 yards. And like I said, there was a very good chance that what he did today was a touchdown catch, that incompletion was a touchdown. Now, every single week he makes a tremendous grab, but it also starting to seem like every single week he's going to have 1 or 2 very bad drops. So Preston Williams, he's up and down, but if he can get those drops under control, then I don't think it would be too much of a stretch to say that he has a wide receiver 1 potential. Now, I'm going to tap the brakes on what I said during the preseason and the comparisons to Dez and all that. I'm sure he could still reach that, but at least as of right now, those drops are a very big concern, and I don't want to downplay that. Now we have Devontae Parker, another nice grab from Devontae Parker. He finished the game 3 catches, 56 yards, a long one of 40. He had 6 targets, and he also had another kind of very very bad drop. It was kind of a deflection that could have been picked off by a defender. A very bad play by Devontae Parker. Now, something that I said earlier in regards to Devontae Parker is he could be a solid little asset on the team. Just kind of disassociate from this idea that he's the team's first round pick and that he should be the next coming of AJ Green. It's not going to happen. But as long as you view him as a valuable asset, someone who could contribute to this team, then you'll start to realize that, okay, maybe we have something here that's just a solid asset. Like, as Dolphin fans, Ted Ginn was never going to live up to the first round pick potential. So in that way, he would always be a disappointment. But if you look at what he did for New Orleans and what he did for Carolina, he was a very solid asset. That is how Devontae Parker needs to be viewed right now. Now, to wrap up the receivers, Allen Hurns suffered a very big concussion play. He was hit by safety Jeff Heath for the Dallas Cowboys on a play that was just a very terrible full speed collision between the two. On my first reaction in regards to that play was, how was there no flag thrown on the play? I've seen far less violent looking hits that warrant some sort of unnecessary roughness, but upon watching the replay from different angles, you could really see that this wasn't an instance of targeting, or it wasn't a play where the defender was trying to hit a defenseless receiver. It was really Jeff Heath was trying to make a play on the ball. He had his eyes on the ball and was sprinting towards it to catch it. And Allen Hurns was just on that same path to the ball and they collided. And it didn't look like it was intentional. So I know a lot of Dolphin fans are very mad about that hit. They believed it was targeting. They believed it warranted some sort of ejection. But if you really watch from that other angle, it shows that Jeff Heath was just trying to intercept the ball and they just happened to collide, which was just very unfortunate. Allen Hurns had that horrible broken leg for the Dallas Cowboys last season. He was making his return this year for the Dolphins, carved out a nice little role, and then he just unfortunately got hurt here, was taken to the hospital. So we're all hoping for the best and hoping that we get some good news in regards to his health very soon. Now, defensively, we head over, and I wouldn't say the performance was as good as against the Patriots. I really thought they kept the Patriots in check. Now, while the first half was a very good performance from the Miami Dolphins, things really began to unravel, and surprisingly, I think one of the most underperforming guys on this Miami Dolphins defense ended up being the highest paid cornerback, which is Xavien Howard. And it's a very shocking thing to hear. He's someone that we hope as Dolphin fans could be a true shutdown corner. But from what we've seen from him so far throughout his career, when it comes to these elite receivers, those appear to be even too much for a guy like Xavien Howard. Amari Cooper was lined up against him and made him look silly on a few plays. Amari Cooper finished the game with 6 catches, 88 yards and 2 touchdowns. So it was a very big game from Amari Cooper for the Dallas rushing attack. I said earlier that I think Zeke could go off for 200 yards in this game. Well, he didn't because the Cowboys elected to pull him out of the game. Zeke finished with 125, but then the backup rookie running back Tony Pollard came in and he had 103 yards rushing as well. So the Dallas rushing attack, once they found that groove when they came back in the second half, because at that point it was just pure Cowboys from there, they really just were on cruise control for the most part, and I really think that they weren't taking it too serious. They weren't really playing too aggressively at that point. And it was also very shocking from the Dolphins side of the ball. It seemed like in that half things began to unravel for them as well. So I don't know if it's because of the depth on the team, or I don't know if it's because of the morale, but something happens where in the last 2 weeks, the second halves of both of those games, the team just came out looking pretty lifeless in comparison to what were very strong first halves in both of the last 2 weeks' performances from the Miami Dolphins. Now, the Dallas Cowboys boast this extremely tough offensive line, there were some moments of penetration when it came to rushing the quarterback, but when it came to getting tackles behind the line of scrimmage, that was something that was completely missing from this game. In fact, there was only one tackle for a loss in the entire game for the Dolphins, and it was by none other than Revenge Game himself, former Dallas Cowboy Taco Charlton, who had a sack in this game. So we look at my takeaways for this matchup. And after the Patriots game, I said I was very proud of the adjustments Brian Flores made defensively. It looked like a different team defensively. And while it wasn't perfect, it wasn't great. there was some signs of improvement, signs of life, and that was something to look at as a small victory. Well, they came into this game, and now we saw that small adjustment, those slight improvements made on the offensive side of the ball, and that was something that I was very happy to see, and I think a lot of this is attributed to Josh Rosen. So come next week, if we can start working these kinks out more and more, again, I don't expect this to change the outcome of a game, especially next week when they play the Los Angeles Chargers, but I do expect this to look more like a functioning team, and you really start to see these pieces kind of get put together more and more when it comes to the Dolphins. So a lot of the issues here was that the Dolphins offensively, they were improved, but they still couldn't get out of their own way. There were just tons of small little mistakes that ended up being huge for the team. Kenyon Drake's fumble in the red zone was absolutely huge. The Devontae Parker drop was huge. The Preston Williams, whether you want to call that a drop or not, that was huge. If these receivers can start holding on to the ball, then that will be something. If the Dolphins, I think, give more carries to Kenyon Drake, and if he can stop turning it over, that would be great as well. But as of right now, I think Josh Rosen is doing about as good as he can in the situation he's in. So as long as these kinks start getting worked out more and more, I think we're going to start to see a little bit more competitiveness from the Miami Dolphins, and hopefully we can see that for the duration of an entire game. So to sum it up, both sides of the ball put up a very strong performance in the first half that was hindered by the Dolphins' inability to get out of their own way. Then they came in the second half. The Cowboys made a ton of adjustments. It looked like the Dolphins did not, and the Cowboys ran away with it. So the defense looked like a slight notch below the game from the Patriots, where I thought they actually had some very strong moments. The first half was good, but as a whole, it looked like a slight notch down. But the offense overall looked a lot better. And now I wouldn't say it's great. It's not a finished product by any means. You can't throw away the whole tank for Tua thing that's going on right now. That's still very real. But what I'm saying is there were some signs of life, and that was one of the small victories that you have to look forward to as a Dolphin fan this season. So guys, that's how I'm going to wrap up this episode. If you have any questions or thoughts in regards to this game, feel free to send them on Twitter. That is either at Shady Steven or at Via The Source. I've been using the Via The Source Twitter a lot for the Dolphins news. So feel free to ask me questions on there and lob me a follow if you haven't already. It would mean a lot. Now, as for the giveaway, I know I have a bunch of listeners that became listeners because they heard about that giveaway, and I knew I said I would have it last week. Well, that's going to be coming up soon. I wanted to buy something to make the raffling of the prize a little bit more exciting and a little bit more fun to view as a viewer. So I went out and got something, so I'm just waiting for that to get here, but the giveaway will be in the next few days. So guys, stay tuned for that. As always, it was a pleasure to be your host. Your reviews and all your nice words, they mean a bunch. But until next time, I'm Steve Amasso, and this was Via The Source.